Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue our in-depth study. We've been going line by line and verse by verse through the entire Bible like we always do. But when we got to the Beatitudes, I felt like the Lord wanted us to do an in-depth study on the Beatitudes. That's Beatitudes is Latin for blessing. And we've already covered all of those Beatitudes. And now we're getting ready to reach our goal. And the goal that we've been wanting to achieve is what we call radical Christianity. But radical Christianity, which really just means living with all of your heart, mind, and soul for Jesus Christ, will never be accomplished unless we live verses 3 through 9. Verses 3 through 9, the result would be persecution, which is found in 10 through 12, which I have already covered. But the goal was to reach verse 13. And verse 14 and 15 and 16, because Jesus calls His disciples and us something. He calls us, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. But today, I am only going to cover one scripture, and that's verse 13. Let's read it, or let me read it to you. Jesus there says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, in Jesus' time, salt was a very, very valuable commodity. And it was so valuable that they even levied taxes on it. They paid people with it. Well, they even paid the Roman soldiers with it, for example. That's where we get that saying, you know, well, this person is not worth his salt. Meaning that you did a day's work and you didn't do it right or so forth. So it originated back there at the time of Rome. But when the disciples, they were listening to this, the multitudes, listen, Jesus had just healed all the people in the Galilee. There was not one sickness, not one diseased person, not one demon-possessed person left in all of Galilee. When it was all over and the dust settled, Jesus sat down probably on a rock overlooking the sea there in front of Him, and the disciples gathered around in front of Him, and the multitudes surrounded Him. And He sat down and started teaching them, God in the flesh, teaching His creation. Do you know that He is here this morning? He is here with us to love us. He sees you. He sees you individually, not a crowd. He sees each and every one of you this morning. And He sat down and He looked into the eyes of all of His disciples and He said, you are the salt of the earth. Now listen to me. They did not really probably understand what He meant. But let me, if I could just for a moment, maybe tell you what they knew He meant when He made that statement. When Jesus told them, perhaps there was John there, Peter, I don't, whoever He looked first into the eyes of and said, you are the salt of the earth. Here's what they knew. They knew that that meant that they were extremely valuable. Because see, salt was a very valuable thing. And so when Jesus spoke that word to them, they understood that, hey, something's happening here. You're calling me what? You're calling me, I'm a fisherman, I'm a tax collector, or I'm this or I'm that. You're saying, Lord, I am the most valuable people on this planet. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. You know, if you study in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, for example, the offerings were all given with salt. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, I believe, it talks about how when children were born, they would even rub them with salt. Now, salt, how could we do without it, first of all? If we just look at it from the natural point of view, I mean, salt changes things. If I have a glass of water that I keep right here under the pulpit all the time, and so I can, if I'm thirsty, I can have a drink. But I'll tell you something, if someone put a tablespoon of salt in my water, I don't think I'd want it, would you? No. Why? Because salt changes things instantly. It's very apparent when salt comes on the scene. So salt, number one, changes things. Number two, salt preserves or prevents. What do I mean by that? Well, back then and even today, people still take meat and they rub it or put it in salt and wrap it up so it'll preserve it. It keeps something from rotting, in other words, from decomposing. And you know, Jesus was looking at His disciples. And He said, you're the salt of the earth. May I tell you this morning that you're the salt of the earth. That's who you are. Now, I don't know that you fully understand that, and I'm not saying I fully understand that. But I pray by the time we leave here this morning that you have a grasp of what you really are in Christ. Because today, unfortunately, the church no longer knows who they are. They're practicing tolerance. They're practicing all kinds of evil when they should realize who they are. May I say that it's wonderful to have a name on the outside of your building, and I'm thankful for the name that we have and our affiliation. But you know what? I want to be salt, amen? That's who I want to be. I want to be salt, and I want to be salt in this city, and that's what God wants us to be. So salt changes things, salt preserves things, and you're salt. Listen, you go to the office place, you walk in the door, and someone, the moment you walk in, they're all gathered around the coffee place, you know, filling up their coffee mugs to start their day off, and you hear maybe when you walk in, they're telling a filthy joke. The moment that you walk in, the joke stops. Why? Salt just arrived. Do you understand? See, you prevented something. What did you prevent? Well, you just stopped evil from taking place. See, that's what salt does. When Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth, He wasn't saying, you know, you're a salt shaker and you're going to season some meat. He was saying, you're the people that preserve this world from the evil that's going on, because salt permeates everything. In other words, it has an effect. You take a nice bowl of homemade sausage gravy, you know? Good sausage gravy. Have you had your breakfast? But if you put too much salt in it, you can't eat it. It's ruined. You try to take the salt out of it, you can't do it. So see, when you walk into any place in this society, wherever you are, on where you live, your workplace, your home place, when you visit your relatives, you're salt. And when that joke stopped and they looked at you, that just meant that salt had arrived and you ceased that evil that was happening. Now, when Jesus looked out over the multitudes and started speaking to the disciples and He said, you are the salt of this earth, what was He saying? He meant this, you are the ones that are going to stop, prevent, hold back, not completely hold back, but hold back the filth and the evil that's trying to overtake this world and this society. In other words, Jesus just elevated their role in the world to preservers and preventers. In other words, the world became a big food table to them, and they became the salt that sits on the table. And you know what? Without us, the world would be a sorry place. Think about it for a moment. Just think of the evil that would be unleashed upon this planet once the church is removed. That's why right now, you know, the attack that's taking place within the body from the powers of darkness. Of course, they're going to fail. They don't know that yet. You know, they're always being deceived, you know. You know, you start raising up ministries like the Marriage in Crisis Ministry and Pure Word Ministry and the Project Outreach, the Project Love. You know what those three are? They're salt. And the moment that salt starts manifesting itself on this planet, Satan wants to lift up a standard. The moment that Nehemiah said, let us rise up and build, opposition comes. The moment that you say to yourself, my marriage is going to become, in God's eyes, correct. I'm going to start obeying what the Lord says. I am a husband, and I am going to start with all my heart trying to love my wife with all of my heart, and just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for. And I'm a wife, and yes, I'm going to start reverencing my husband and respecting my husband, and I'm going to start praying with my children and so forth. The moment that you decide to do that, do you think it's just going to be easy? No. The moment that you say, I'm going to start having a prayer time, I'm going to have a quiet time with God, I'm going to really read the Bible through in 1 year. The moment that you say, let yourself rise up and do this because God commands it, you should expect opposition. Because I'll tell you, Satan loves to just torment you just a little. And most usually what happens is after about the third time you go to pray and you say, well, it's just not worth it. Not worth it. Well, if you know to expect opposition in your prayer time, then you can continue praying. You are this morning, as Jesus said in Scripture, the salt of the earth. May I tell you something? That salt is what prevents and holding back the evil upon this planet. And, you know, it amazes me that mankind, we've found so many cures for so many diseases upon this planet. But you know what's interesting? That man has never and will never find, I'm talking about lost man, the world system, they will never find and have never found a way to stop the progression of evil in our world or in our cities. I mean, you can only build so many jail cells. You can only have so many prisons. You can only hire so many police officers. You know what I'm saying? You can only have so many self-help books. You can only, like I said last night, I said you can only put Dr. Phil on so many channels. You know what I mean? It's not going to help. The only thing that's going to help is when the salt becomes salt and we go out and make a change by winning the lost to Jesus Christ. See, that's how it happens. is when we make the change, because the Lord told us to go out and do that. And mankind, they're getting worse. They're not getting better. The Bible says about the evil on this planet in 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, but evil men and imposters will what? Will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What does that tell me? It tells me that mankind is not getting better. It's spiraling downward. And we've grown in our education, we've grown in our technology, but our society hasn't improved. You know, listen, I was just reading an article. You may have caught that this week, right on the front page of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And it said space elevator. And it was talking about that the space elevator that they're hoping to build within the next 20 or 40 years, whatever it is, that's going to be located, believe it or not, is somewhere around the equator. And it's going to go 60,000 miles into the sky. Can you believe that? No, who's like, I read it in the newspaper. It was not National Enquirer. Although I wonder about the Fort Worth Star-Telegram once sometimes. And so I was reading this, and what they've done, they've developed some years back what they call nanotubes. Now, these nanotubes are 3 feet wide, thinner than, it says here, a piece of paper, but they're strong enough to support 13 tons. So they're going to build it from the ground 60,000 miles up into the air, and they're going to be hoisting passengers and cargo. I'm just telling you what the newspaper said, folks. But does that give you an idea what's wrong with our world? I mean, mankind can sit and figure something like this out, but they can't stop the terror alert that happens once every month now, or they can't stop the bombings that happened like last night in Israel, where that woman walks in who was getting ready to graduate and be an attorney in about 3 days, walks in to that cafe full of Jews and Palestinians and blows herself up and 19 people along with her. The world lives from one terror alert to the other terror alert. Why? Because the world is an evil place. You see, it used to be crimes, just regular crimes. Listen, I remember when I lived in a farming community not too far from here, when a murder occurred, it was like unbelievable that it happened. Now, murders, of course, occurred when I was a kid, but not like they do now. See, it's growing worse and worse. In other words, instead of crimes, it's greater crimes. Instead of perversions today, it's greater perversions. I mean, it's greater than Sodom and Gomorrah. The things that are happening right now in our own society. So mankind is spiraling downward, not upward. So what's the answer? Well, Jesus just told us. He looked out over the multitudes and he said this. Look at the verse. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Now listen, look at Jesus for a moment. Sit there with his disciples. Jesus, the Son of God, is teaching it, and he says to these people, to the uneducated, to the people that don't have a PhD, they don't have a BA, they don't have anything. They're peasants, they're farmers, they're fishermen. And he looks at them and he says, listen, you are the people that are going to keep this planet from completely rotting. Do you understand? Now, not the whole planet. You can't. We won't. You know, it's going to grow worse and worse, but you're going to hold back that evil. The more salt that you are, the more will hold back the evil on this world. That's exactly what he was saying. Now, that tells me something. Number one, it tells me that Jesus Christ believed in those men. The second thing it tells me is that Jesus Christ believes in us. And the reason that he believed in them and us is because we believe in him. And through him, all things are possible. Amen? And so he's saying, we're the salt of the earth. And so we have to really listen to that because we're going to keep this world from rotting. Now, but salt doesn't work unless it's applied, which means that we can't live in isolation. So when you think of this world, I look at it as a dead corpse. I look at people that, listen, they're dead in their trespasses and sins, just like you and I were. They're walking through this world and they're living in wickedness. And God wants us to do something about it. So that means that when Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, he was explaining to us that we are the only influence on this planet that can stop the rot. Do you know that the Christians were the first to build schools? That's salt. They were the first to build orphanages. That's called salt. They were the first to even start universities. That's salt. Hospitals and so forth. Homeless shelters. Christians started all of those things. Feeding the poor. We are the salt. Listen to me. You really want to be salt today? Then grow yourself through grace and through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. Grow yourself a godly family. Amen? Grow yourself godly children, where you love them and you spend time with them. Now, let's look one more time here at this scripture and let's break it all down. It says again, Jesus said this. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, that "you" there is a pronoun and it's emphatic. So it should read, or it could read like this, "You are the only salt." In other words, there's no one else. The church is the only salt. There's not any other salt located on this planet. It's only you. And then the Lord uses that word "are," which is plural, because some people like to think, well, you can be the salt and I'm just going to tag along. No, it means each one of us. We're all the salt of the earth. And so what's amazing is that you and I, when we rise up and we live the way the Lord said that we can do, because His commandments are always our enablements, and when we live that way, just think, we can retard the evil. You know, I don't know how you feel about this, and I'm not saying I'm right. Maybe this is a defect and the Lord needs to work on me. I don't tolerate things where I live. When I see something going on in my community that's horribly evil, I go over and confront it in love. Listen, when I have people knocking on my door and they park their bicycles on my front porch, I get a chain, you know, and tie them up and put them around the post. Say, "You're going to have to walk home, boys." I do it in love, though. Listen to me. See, I don't want that on my block. I don't want false doctrine on my street. And I tell them, and you know what? They don't hardly come on my street anymore because they know I come outside. And I do it in love. Going over to the next street, you're not going to contaminate this area. We love Jesus here. You want to come in and talk to me about the Lord? That's another story. But don't start spreading those lies. Don't do that. We're not going to allow it here. But you see, what happens is that Christians today are practicing tolerance. Now, we have a command. The Bible tells us to earnestly contend for the faith that has been once and for all delivered unto the saints. Now, we're not to be contentious, but we are to contend. It's been delivered to us. If you don't know your Bibles, how can you contend? If you won't stand on the Word of God, then how can we be salt? And so the Lord is telling us here that we're the influence upon this society. You are the salt. And what's amazing is the people that hate us, the people that make fun of us, the people that persecute us, they don't know it, but we're the only people that can help them. There's not any other people on earth except the church that can help the lost person. Do you understand? That's why Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." You have an effect. Listen, Jesus didn't say when He prayed in His high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus didn't say, "Lord, take them out of the world and protect them." No, Jesus said, "Lord, I don't ask You to take them out of the world, but I ask You to protect them from the evil one." And then Jesus said this, He looked at His disciples and He says, "I send you, as God has sent me, I send you, go." See, we're to go now and be that salt. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that we are an aroma, the fragrance of Christ to the saved and to the unsaved. Whenever people get around us, they either smell life or they smell death. But whatever they are, it's always the fragrance of Jesus Christ because we're saved. You know, there's something about a godly man or a godly woman in a place of business. You know it. And the reason you know it, because everybody says, well, they're different. They're just different. You know, they don't cuss, they don't chew, they don't date girls that do or something like that, you know. They don't swear, they don't do anything vulgar, you know, and they don't go out at happy hour and pass out with us and get drunk and vomit all over the bathroom and, you know, they're just no fun. You know, they don't get DWIs with us and lose their, you know, license. But when salt comes into an office place or wherever there's a change, people start changing immediately. One of our presidents, Woodrow Wilson, told the story of being in a barber shop one time, and it goes like this. He says, "I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a powerful personality had entered the room, and a man had come quietly in upon the same errand as myself to have his hair cut and sat in the chair next to me. Now, every word the man uttered, though it was not in the least didactic," in other words, that he was not teaching, "showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through with what was being done to me, I was aware I had attended an evangelistic service because Mr. D.L. Moody was in that chair. And I purposely lingered in the room after he had left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the barber shop. They talked in undertones. They did not know his name, but they knew something had elevated their thoughts. And I felt that I had left that place as I should have left a place of worship. That's who you are. Here's the problem. I say this in the most tenderest love that I can, but here's the problem. And then I'm going to tell you the remedy. The problem is this. You know that you love Jesus. You know I love Jesus. You know that most of the church corporately, those that believe in the essentials, the doctrines, the essentials of the faith, they love the Lord. But in our society, especially America, let's just leave out the other nations, but just our nation, here's what we've done. Jesus made a comment in one of the Gospels. He said, "Remember Lot's wife." Do you remember Lot's wife? Remember, she was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and she was living there, and Abraham was interceding with the Lord and the angels, you know, saying, "Listen, you know, Lord, if there's only 50 righteous in that city, will you not destroy it?" And the Lord says, "Okay, if I find 50 righteous, I won't destroy the city." And then Abraham goes, "Now, Lord, don't be mad at me, but if we find 40, he says, "Okay, 40 goes all the way down. He says, "Oh, please don't shoot me, Lord, you know. Let me ask you one more time." He said, "If you just find 10 righteous people, 10 salt, 10 salts of the earth. If you find just 10 there, Lord, will you not destroy that city?" And the Lord said, "If I find 10, I won't." Well, he didn't find 10. He went over there and the angels had to go in and the angels had to drag Lot and his family out of the city. Matter of fact, Lot had such a bad testimony that his son-in-laws, when he came to them, said, "Listen, God's going to destroy this city." The Bible says that they looked at him like he was joking. And so the angel said, "Come on, I've got to take you out of here because we cannot destroy this place until you are removed." And then as they were leaving, the angels commanded them, "Whatever you do, don't look back." Well, you know the story. Lot's wife looked back. And when she did, the Bible says that she turned into a pillar of salt. There's the problem right there. In the American church today, in all of our hearts, that principle, unfortunately, is working. And there's something that says, "You know what? I keep looking back," because you keep thinking that there's something back there that's better than Jesus, and there's nothing better than Jesus. The Bible says that we are now a new creation in Christ. "Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new." Jesus said, "No one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And all of a sudden, it's like the church is the salt of the earth. But you know what? It's like we're just frozen. We're just right there because we don't know which way we want to look anymore. Do we want to look back to the good old days? You know, when it was all, you know, that really satisfied my flesh. Or am I looking and following Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, my forerunner who's going to get me home? See, when Jesus said, "Follow me," that meant discipleship, where you say, "Lord, I'm following you. And if you'll follow him, I tell you something, you will be the salt of the earth." You know what'll happen? You'll be out there in the workplace and all of a sudden the Lord, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in your heart and say, you know what? Why don't you walk over there to your friend that works with you and just say, you're sad today. And I know we don't know one another very well, but you need to talk, or can I pray with you?" And see, she already knows that you're a Christian. She's not, you are. And she says, "Yeah, I need prayer because my family's falling apart." You know what you're doing? See, salt rubs up against dead things. Do you understand me? Do you see that? It just rubs up, and what it does, it stops the evil. You know, you are the ones that when you go out there, you're the ones that when you see that issue, when you see that problem, when you see that marriage falling apart, you can speak life into it. Why? Because you're the preserving factor of the earth. God's already said, that's who you are. You are. You can't change that. Listen, God said that. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. Jesus could walk into this church right now, walk right through the door, say, "Bill, move over," and I would crawl over, man. And he could look at you just like he looked at the disciples and said, "You are the salt of the earth," and walk right out or disappear in our midst. It wouldn't change anything unless you believed it. It wouldn't change anything unless you acted upon it. Because then, see, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. If you just hear it and don't do it, you're deceived. You can't live off sermons. You live off Christ. You become a doer of the word. You are the answer to this society. You're the answer for the problems that are facing. That's why the Project Love team, they're getting involved in the city council here in this city. Listen, don't you just want to chase evil out? Every time I go by that psychic place up there, you know what I mean? Lord, either bring them into the kingdom or get them out of the streets. No, is that wrong? Well, no, I'm praying for them. It says pray for them. And that's what I'm doing. I'm first, get them in. If you can't, get them out. Chase them over there to some other city where there's no salt. There's a problem, though. Look at verse 13 again. But if the salt loses its flavor, in other words, loses its saltiness, look what Jesus said. He's asking a question. Watch. How shall it be seasoned? In other words, do you see what an important question Jesus was asking His disciples? He's saying, fellas, listen to me. He says, the health of the world depends upon the body of Christ. That's exactly what He was saying. In other words, if you can't season it, nothing's going to happen. It's impossible. The Bible says in Mark 9:50, it says, salt is good, but if it loses its flavor, how will you season it? And then He says, have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Here's what I've determined. If you're not salting the world, then the world is salting you. And you know what that means? It means it's trying to rot you. It's trying to contaminate you. Look at it again. It says, how shall it be seasoned? In other words, how can salt get back its flavor? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not salt. Now, you are the salt of the world, but you're not acting like it. How do you get the flavor back? I know that Christians go through dry times. I know that. I know that we go through times when it just seems like you pray and it's like your prayer gets no higher than 3 inches off the floor. I live there. I understand that. And it's like you go through times sometimes and it's like the word is just, Lord, I love you. I'm not in sin. What's happening? Listen, there are times that we just go through those times and that's not bad. Those are times when we stand, and having done all the stand, we stand there for, amen? But when we look at this about how do we gain back the salt in our lives, let me just give you a few things and then one big example. Number one, restore fellowship. In other words, if you're the salt of the earth, which you are, then you're going to have to be in fellowship with the Lord. So He can tell you what to do and how to do it, when to do it, so you can be led by the Holy Spirit. And you have to practice that. In other words, when you walk in the light as He is in the light, it says you have fellowship one with another from 1 John chapter 1. That doesn't mean that you have fellowship with each other. That's not what the verse is implying. It means when you walk in His light, you have fellowship with Him. And He wants that intimacy, that koinonia. That's what He desires. So you fellowship with the Lord. Number two, you practice awareness. What do I mean by that? The Holy Spirit is with you all the time. The Holy Spirit is with you right now. You know, it amazes me that someone can come over to your house, you know, and you put out all those religious magazines. Let's put the Charisma out and, you know, Word for Today and, you know, and just want to make sure they know I'm holy. And you go get 5 dusty Bibles and dust them off and put them all over the living room. And you know, they come over and visit you and they go, oh, man, And then you leave and you go put them all back up. Well, it doesn't matter what they think. Listen, the Holy Spirit was there the whole time. He was watching everything you did. Who are you trying to impress, God or man? See, the Lord knows. So you have to practice awareness. He's right there. You told the lie. Hey, He's right there. You know, you're walking through the mall, man, and you're going, you know, there goes this young girl or whatever. This lady goes by and you're walking with your wife. And yes, honey, I know what you mean. I sure do. Listen. The Holy Spirit's right there. No, your wife didn't see you, but the Holy Spirit, I mean, do you understand? It's like, you don't think God sees anything. No, He sees everything. See, and what happens is we don't practice that awareness, and if we don't practice awareness, we're not going to be salt. We're going to be saved, yeah. Heaven is our home, absolutely. But we're not going to be what God said we can be. I know that you want to be salt. So how do you get back to it? Well, you go back to the source from which you first received. Let me just give you a scripture. Let me put it to you this way. You remember when Jesus, the 7 letters to the 7 churches, and He wrote to the church at Ephesus. He told that church, He said this. He said, listen, I know your works. I know your labor. And that word labor there in the Greek means this. I know that your work, your labor to the point of exhaustion. I know you've worked to death. And it says, I know that you have tested those which are evil. In other words, they're being salt there in a sense, right? Man, you know, hey, and boy, if they didn't agree with the right doctrine, they didn't let him come into the church. And then Jesus says something. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you. I don't want to ever, ever hear that from my Lord. Amen? I don't want Him to say, Bill, you know, you're doing all right over here and over here, but you know what? I really have something against you. He said, nevertheless, I have this against you. And it says this about the church at Ephesus. You have left your first love. You didn't lose your first love. You walked out on your first love. See, first love implies a second love, a third love, and so forth. So if you want to get back to being the salt that you are, being who you really are, then you have to make sure that Jesus Christ is the one you're fully in love with first of all. In other words, in matter of priority. And when you do that, then that salt will come back. See, if Jesus is not your first love this morning, Christian, listen to me. That means that you've allowed something or someone to replace that first love. And you have to go back and think, who took it? I didn't lose it. No, you let it be replaced. And so you have to replace that. And I'm so thankful that first love can be restored, because Jesus said to the same church, He says, here's how it's done. He said, remember therefore from where you've fallen, okay? And repent, all right? And what else? And do or repeat the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. See, first love can be restored. How? Just remember. Remember what? Don't you remember the first time you met the Lord? Don't you remember how excited you were? How you were turned on, man. You wanted to obey Him. You wouldn't let a cuss word come out of your mouth. You guarded your eyes. You guarded everything. You muzzled your mouth. You devoured the Scriptures. Listen, when you first came to Christ, you turned that TV off. You didn't even know what was happening. You walked around with glazy eyes for about 3 months. Why? You were in love with the Lord. See, some of you were so in love with the Lord, He delivered you from drugs and alcoholism and many other sins. And He so saved you and so filled you with His Holy Spirit, and you fell so headlong in love with Him. To him who's been forgiven much, the Bible says, He loveth much. And He became your first love, and you started following. You loved. You were learning songs. You didn't know anything about the church. You didn't know anything about the Bible, and He became real in your life. And all of a sudden, everywhere you went, you were just salt. People were just, man, you're different. Yeah, okay, let me tell you why. You didn't know anything about theology, didn't know anything about 666, didn't know there were 66 books in the Bible, didn't know what Great Tribulation meant, didn't know anything. You just know, Jesus saved me. That's all. Well, yeah, I'm different. I don't have a desire. It's over with. And, you know, they were going, well, really? You mean? And they started looking at you and say, I've never seen you this happy. I've never seen you this kind of joy. And you went, well, you can have it too. Here, how do you get it? Well, I don't know. Just pray with me. That's it? Yes, pray. And they get it. And then after about 5 months, you come into contact with some Christians that are dead, and they steal your joy. Come on, church. Listen, we ought to be the most turned on bunch in the world. We have something to celebrate about. Let me just give you one thing this morning. You're not going to hell. Amen. You're not crawling around on the floor drunk, slobbering someplace. You're not sitting out in your car because you're so angry at your wife and bitter, and you sit out there and sleep all night. No, you know that it's wrong to do that. You don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know how to go in and say, honey, let's pray. Man, I blew it. I shouldn't have said that. We live for God in this house. You have the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit working in your hearts and in your lives. You're the salt of the earth. Jesus said, remember when it was when you first came to me. He says, and what did He say after that? He said, and then I want you to repent and do the first works. In other words, fall back in love again. Don't you remember how it was? You were so fervent. You were so excited. You openly displayed your love for Him in worship. Jesus said, look what He said in verse 13 now. Let's finish this up. Jesus said, well, talking about salt, that's lost its flavor. Look at this now. It is then good for nothing. Ooh. But to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's all it's fit for, Jesus said, is the heels of man. It says God has no use for it. It says man has no use for it. In other words, it has now failed for the only thing it was created for. You have been created. You have the divine nature of God in your life. You've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. You and I, this church, this fellowship, we are the salt of the earth. We can stop the evil or we can let it advance. It doesn't have to overtake our society. See, that's why I said we're going into this city. We're going to do something about it. We're going to pray and we're going to seek God and do all of those things. You see, just 60 miles, listen to me, folks, just 60 miles from where Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount was the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea's 38% salt. You can almost walk on water there. But only a few yards, 100 yards from the Dead Sea, when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, was a little community called of the Essenes. And they were a sect of people who decided to separate themselves from the world and not get involved in anything. And their motto was this, I will not mix or mingle with anyone of the world. That's the exact opposite of what Jesus is teaching. He's teaching that isolationism is a sin. Insulation, yes. Isolation, no. That we need to go and be salt to this life. Now, that's something that only you can do by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your hearts. I know there's more I want to tell you, but I just don't feel the liberty to do it this morning. You know, when we stand and we learn and we study Scripture, listen to me. When Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, why do I sometimes feel that some of you go, that's just so bad, Bill. You know, I don't, it's like all of a sudden, I don't want to have to be that. I have my chair, it's numbered, and it's I just come in, Bill, and I got my parking lot, and, you know, I know where to park, I know where to sit, and I'm going to come in, just give me something. Don't put this on me. Well, you want the truth or do you want the lie? I want to know who I am. See, I know what I was. I want to know who I am in Christ. I want that identity. I said this a few nights ago, and I'm going to say it again today. I've been a Christian now for about 27 years. Been preaching for over 20 years. The Lord asked me a question. He said, I know that you've had me for 27 years. I've had the Lord for 27 years. He said, but Bill, out of 27 years, how much of that time have I really had you? And do you know that I had to hang my head and repent and saying, you know, Lord, I really want my way so much. I want my way. No, I want my will, not your will, Lord. And I say, Father, I just want what you want for me. I don't want to waste the latter part of my life not serving you completely. You see, we have a choice in this fellowship. We can become a pillar of salt, in other words, a monument to what God says you are. Just a monument. Yes, we're the salt of the earth. See our monument? We have it in the lobby. Or we can go out and make people thirsty. That's entirely up to you. Where do you stand with Jesus this morning? Do you know Him? Are you born from above? Did someone bring you? Did you just stumble in here and say, you know, or visiting or whatnot? Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you confessed Him with your mouth, publicly or privately? If you died tonight, God forbid, but if you did, where would you spend eternity? Where would you really go? I thought of Siegfried and Roy, the entertainers in Las Vegas. And of course, you know, I came out of Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. And so, I still listen to what's going on up there. And I thought about him. He may not live today. This may be his last day. And I was telling my wife, Becky, on the way in, I said, that tiger, you know, just ripped his throat wide open. And there they said they don't know if he's going to make it or not. And my only question I had was, does he know anything about you, Jesus? Is he saved? Is he born from above? I don't know. I don't think he is. But God, who would want to? I mean, I said, Lord, save him. Don't let him die. Don't let him slip into eternity and go to hell, because hell is forever and ever and ever and ever. Lord, don't let him go there, please. That's my plea this morning for you. With every head bowed this morning and every eye closed. If you've never asked Christ Jesus to come into your heart, if you've never, listen, he will forgive you of your sin. He died for you. He loves you. He's in love with you. Then you have a choice to make. You can either receive him or deny him. But if you've never received him, why not right now, just simply with every head bowed, just lift your hand and say, Bill, would you pray for me? I want to make sure that when I leave this building today that Christ Jesus is my Lord. Right where you're sitting. You don't have to come down here this morning. Just stay right there. Just lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. I want you to pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. I just want to know for sure. I want to make sure. I'm tired of playing religion. I want relationship. I want to be what Jesus said I can be. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. God bless you. I see that hand. This is your moment to get right with God. Not telling you to join Calvary Chapel. That's not what I mean. That's not it at all. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. Anyone else say, Bill, please pray for me. I want to know this morning. I want Jesus. God bless you. I see that hand as my Lord and Savior. If the Holy Spirit was tapping you in your heart, man, you need to put that hand up. It's not for me. It's for God. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just say, this is the day. He's calling me. I want everyone who lifted their hands, I want them to pray with me. And the whole church, you pray with me and help them right now. Say, Father, today, in front of all of heaven and everyone present, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. I receive Him as my Lord and as my Savior. Save me, Jesus. I am a sinner. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Amen.